I welcome especially our visitors this morning. And I especially want to note that Sheila Knight is here. This is the mother of Cheryl. Please make all of our guests feel welcome, but give a special hug and welcome to Sheila. Favoritism. At the mall when you go and you look at all the people, what do you see? In the morning you wake up. You see your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter. But what do you really see? You go to school, you go to work. You see the people, you talk to them. Some are big, some are small, some are pretty, some aren't. Some are white, some are Hispanic, some are German. When you see them, what do you think? Some have brains. Some are burned out. Some are jocks. Some are geeks. Some wear designer clothes. Some don't. What do you see when you look? You know, we like to put labels on people, don't we? He's a geek. She's in. She's out. She's cute. She isn't. We put labels on people, don't we? We like to categorize. We like to categorize, and there's categories of things we like, and there's categories of things we don't like. So automatically, what do? I don't like them. I do like these. We feel comfortable with certain types of people. No wonder we rarely get to know people outside of the category we have put ourselves in. Let me ask a question, particularly to young people, but to us older ones as well. When you see your family, your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, your brothers and sisters, now think about the way you treat them. And I ask you this question. If you treated your best friend the way you treat your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, and so forth, how long would you have that best friend? Unfortunately, when we look at a crowd, we see a crowd. Rarely do we catch a glimpse of the individual. Their feelings, their struggles, their disappointments, their ideas, their potential. Rarely do we look beyond what our eyes see. We look upon them, we are either attracted to or repelled because of what we see. Rarely do we look long enough to see the true person behind what we see. One of my favorite books, I admit, is the book of James. Back in Freed Hardeman, I was given a small orange-colored book, and it was a small commentary on the book of James, and that book changed my life. It made me appreciate something that I took for granted. See, sometimes we think coming to worship service on Sunday is the most important thing in our Christianity. Now, I'm not saying it's not important, but we overlook what the book of James teaches, is that God expects more. God expects Christianity, our belief, to affect more than just Sunday morning. He expects our lives change. That's why I appreciate the book of James. And I do try to read the book of James once a week to remind me of the things I'm failing on in my life. But James points out something important in chapter 2. He points out that God hates favoritism. we should be impressed with the enormity of this problem of favoritism. Most of us hate racial discrimination, do we not? Most of us would object to it strongly as we tenaciously hold to our own prejudices. We see the evil and the hurt that comes from putting negative labels on people when others do it. But do we notice the hurt when we do it? Do we see a problem with favoritism? We do see a problem with discrimination, but do we see a problem with favoritism, that we favor certain people over others? Attacking those we do not like based solely upon the label we give them is wrong. It is prejudice in action. Heaping advantages on those we like and trying to impress them is known as favoritism. These two things, discrimination and favoritism, are just flip sides of the same coin. Favoritism, like prejudice, is an attack on those we don't like, those who don't measure up to the label we gave them. You can call it a sneak attack from behind, a roundabout road to prejudice. And the Bible condemns it, and for good reason. When I sort people by designer labels or generic labels, and I treat people differently based upon their looks, upon their race, upon their social backgrounds, I'm making myself a judge. But I am judging by poor and unfair standards. What good judge would disregard the evidence in favor of how a defendant is dressed? What good judge would put reason aside and hand down the strictest of consequences based solely upon a racial difference? But don't we do the same thing in our small way when we exclude some people and favor others, based purely upon external things like race or looks or intelligence? James 2:1. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. James illustrated. Two people come to the meeting. One has a suit on with a tie. One comes in who doesn't have much money and not quite so good clothes. To the one we say, can you sit in that back corner over there? And to other, oh, come up front. You have such a pretty tie on. Sit at my foot. But what James said. Do we say that? While to others, oh, take the best seat in the house. Charlie, can you move, please? Well, we want this person to sit here. Favoritism. James says, what are you doing? You are making some people more important than others. And with evil thoughts, you are deciding that one person is better than the other. How do we decide who will be our friend, who won't be our friend? How do we decide who we invite to our party and who we don't invite? When I pass judgment based upon labels and categories that I myself have made up, I put myself in conflict with God, who treats all people the same. God sees beyond appearance. God knows what people think and how they feel. We don't. We need to find out before we start judging. But even if we were to place people in categories, aren't there categories that God has given us that we need to pay more attention to? The poor, the lonely, the neglected. Aren't these the ones that God tells us to pay more attention. It's not that we are to give them special attention because of their label. It is because of their experience and their need that God says, pay attention. It is not wrong to be a friend to the popular and the powerful people. But why should I begin with them when there are others who have been hurt, neglected, and disregarded, and who need my attention now? James complained because people were catering to the rich. And he reminded them, isn't it the rich that are oppressing you? As they were running after the approval of the popular, they disregarded the poor around them. This is wrong. Whether big religious groups do it or we individually, it is wrong. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. God chose the poor in the world to be rich with faith and to receive the kingdom God promised to those he loved. When I play favorites, I break the law of God. How serious does God take this? Well, let's read about his concern. Verse 8, James chapter 2. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. It's interesting with what James compares the people who show favoritism. If you look down in the next verse, James lists murder and sexual sins. Things that we consider big sins, don't we? And yet he says, if you show favoritism, it's comparable to murder and to sexual sin. If we were to state the law in two simple principles, principles that cover the entire law, what would they be? You probably know. Love God and love your neighbor. Or, in simpler words, love people. Excluding people by playing favorites is hateful, not loving. Live the law of God. As I let God's values, or at least what he considers important, direct me, I will begin to see people differently. I will treat them like people regardless of the labels that I or others have put on them. Hateful labels sometimes. Labels that have been unfairly slapped on them. If you've ever had a label put on you, you know how hard it is to get rid of that label, don't you? It helps to remember that God is the true judge, and he judges by fair standards. He extends mercy and forgiveness where it is most needed, but least deserved. Let me read that again. Listen, listen. He extends mercy and forgiveness where it is most needed and least deserved. The very people that we tend to turn away from is the one God turns to. Verse 12. In everything you say and do, remember that you will be judged by the law that makes people free. So you must show mercy to others, or God will not show mercy to you when he judges you. But the person who shows mercy can stand without fear at the judgment. God considers people important. God places value upon them as individuals. Particularly the poor, the lonely, and the forgotten, because they need His love the most. This means I must begin to see the crowd differently. I must stop being impressed by the things that don't matter. Money, the right clothes, the right neighborhood. Instead, I must see people as people who need a word of friendship, an expression of kindness, the gift of being included. When I was in high school, I went to Mount Dora Christian Home and Bible School. My senior year, we had a young lady that, I don't know how to put this, but she had like a mental handicap. And the people of my class tended to avoid her. They put a label on her. She is different. She is not one of us. We don't do things with her. That girl was hurting. And I remember one time, I was standing, and then there was a person behind me, and then she came up behind him, and he says, "Oh, I can't stand here." She's talking to me. "I can't stand here by this girl." I said, "Well, get in front of me." He got in front of me. He says, "But now you're standing by her." And I said, "So?" And I turned around and talked to her. I never saw such an expression of love and happiness in my life. Someone acknowledged her as being okay. After all, on the one hand, we can say for every one of us, we are all generic. We all have flaws. We all have faults that ought to make us tolerant and understanding and forgiving. On the other hand, we are also all designer made with such unimaginable value that God Himself paid the ultimate price for us. But this should be humbling. It should help us put prejudice and favoritism behind us. Brethren, anything less than kindness is not enough. Anything mean-spirited will disappoint our Father in heaven who loves individuals and loves them unconditionally. We need to learn this prayer. Father, help me to live as you live and to see as you see. Every individual in this world is important to God, even those we have labeled as things we don't like. This morning, God gives us the chance to change our thinking and to change our lives. Will you not change? He's given us the opportunity to come to Jesus and to wash away our sins in baptism. Will you not come and wash away your sins and become a brother of Jesus Christ as we stand and sing our invitation song?